The India-New Zealand story might look like a minor diplomatic footnote compared to everything happening in the Middle East, but I'd push back on that reading. Modi's Auckland visit is the first by an Indian prime minister in years, and the elevation to a strategic partnership, 10 agreements signed, a bilateral trade target of 7 billion New Zealand dollars by 2030, which would double current trade volumes, reflects a systematic Indian foreign policy effort to build relationships across the Pacific Rim. India is essentially constructing a diplomatic latticework that gives it economic and security relationships with countries that aren't China-aligned.
The maritime security dimension is the piece that elevates this beyond trade statistics. New Zealand controls significant ocean territory in the South Pacific. India has been systematically building maritime relationships across the Indian Ocean and now extending into the Pacific. That creates a coordination corridor that's directly relevant to any future scenario involving China's naval expansion. When you combine this with India's existing Quad relationships with the US, Japan, and Australia, the New Zealand partnership adds another node to what is functionally becoming an Indo-Pacific security architecture without being explicitly labeled as one.
The Dutch intelligence revelation about Russia hacking doorbell cameras near NATO bases is a story that sounds almost absurd on the surface, but is operationally serious. We're talking about consumer-grade IoT devices, the kind of cameras millions of people have at their front doors, being compromised by Russian intelligence to conduct surveillance near military installations. The specific targets being near NATO bases suggests this is a systematic reconnaissance operation, not opportunistic hacking. Russian intelligence is apparently using civilian surveillance infrastructure as a distributed sensor network.
What's particularly telling about the Dutch disclosure is the timing and the medium. The Dutch intelligence service, the AIVD, is one of Europe's most respected. They were the agency that famously caught Russian hackers inside the DNC servers in real time back in 2016 and watched them operate before alerting American counterparts. When they make a public disclosure, they're usually doing so with deliberate intent, either to warn allies, to publicly attribute blame in a way that creates diplomatic pressure, or to signal to Russia that the surveillance has been detected. Probably all three in this case.
The connection to NATO's broader security posture is worth making explicit. We have, simultaneously, Russia conducting civilian infrastructure surveillance near NATO bases, Russia being the subject of a new American secondary sanctions bill, Russia scrambling to interpret Trump's no-fly zone suggestion over Ukraine, and Zelensky claiming that Putin's inner circle is privately looking for an exit. These aren't disconnected stories. They suggest a Russian strategic situation that is simultaneously offensive in its intelligence operations and increasingly defensive in its war planning.
The China helium export ban is an underreported story with significant industrial implications that connects to the broader geopolitical picture. China halted helium shipments, citing the need to protect domestic supplies as the U.S.-Iran conflict disrupts global supply chains. But helium isn't just for balloons. It's critical for semiconductor manufacturing, MRI machines, fiber optic cable production, and rocket fuel. The SK Hynix CEO is already warning that 2027 will see the worst memory chip shortage ever experienced, driven by a demand outstripping supply capacity. Adding a helium supply disruption to that environment creates compounding pressure. China is essentially using export controls on a critical industrial gas as a geopolitical instrument at a moment when the global semiconductor industry is already stretched.
Micron raising its U.S. investment to over $250 billion is the American response to that dynamic, trying to onshore critical semiconductor capacity before supply dependencies become strategic vulnerabilities. But the lead times for fab construction are 3 to 5 years minimum, so the investments being announced now are a hedge against a problem that's going to get significantly worse before those facilities come online.